This conference will...
Great. All right. Super. So we're going to talk about overcoming adversity. And this is an article that came out of Network Marketing Times about overcoming adversity. And it was written by Keith Cochner, who is a national speaker and founder of something called Mentorship Mastery, which is a leadership and personal development training company. So he also started something called MentorFish.com, which is one of the world's largest paid online leadership social media communities. So you might want to take a peek at that. I've never been there before, and I still haven't, MentorFish.com. But anyway, a pretty good article about overcoming adversity in our life. And what do we know about life? We know that if we're breathing, we're going to have adversity in our life. And life is full of adversity, and I don't make that statement, neither does he, with a concept of telling you to be negative or down about it. It's just we come against conflict, and we come up against things that jump in our face. We come up with things that are unexpected, that fall, that traps in our lives, things that trigger for us, you know, something that we'd rather not have. You know, I'd rather not have that happen. I would have rather not been in that car accident. I would rather have not lost that major business builder in my downline. Manatech have changed the comp plan again since I was just finally, after 5 years, understanding what the comp plan was already. I mean, you know, we have different things that happen in our lives because change is inevitable and so is adversity. But it's not a negative, and that's where we need to shift our brain and shift our thinking. And that's really what Keith talks about so much in the article, is about how do we shift so that adversity becomes something not necessarily that is pleasant to us, but it's a challenge, and a challenge we look at it differently. We take a new look at it. And it's kind of like, I think Lydia has said this to me a number of times too. She says, well, Mary Jo, you love conflict because you're a lawyer. And I go, I don't know that I remember even as a kid that I enjoyed conflict or adversity coming up because I love pursuing solution. I mean, I love to be in pursuit of solution. We really can't help support people. That's why I love doing coaching and my foundation where I do all the coaching that I do, because adversity and trouble and issues open up the possibility for solution. And that excites me. So, but I know that's not true about everybody, and this article is a good one to just kind of talk about that, and how can we make it a better experience for us when we come up against adversity, if we're not people that are, you know, love to have problems because they love to solve them. They're like puzzle solvers. But the reason we know that if you live or if you do Manatech, we're always going to be working in adversity because, first and foremost, especially you on this call, because all you people, you want to achieve something greater in your life. And everything you want is outside of your comfort zone. And when we say that, it means that we have to get uncomfortable. And that's what adversity is about. It's about getting uncomfortable. It's about going into an arena where it's new, it's different, it's a challenge, just from the sake of we can't, it's unpredictable. So things are going to happen in our life. And if you're not finding yourself driven in that direction, I suggest you start moving in that direction if you want to really have fulfillment in life. Because most of everything we want is outside our comfort zone. So that's going to require, number one, that we get uncomfortable. And I believe, too, as a believer, that, you know, I think I might have shared with you guys one time on one of the calls, I was teaching the woman's Sunday school class a couple years back, and my pastor's wife was in there, and we were talking about all sorts of different things, and my pastor's wife asked the question. She said, Mary Jo, when do we know that we're doing God's work? And I looked up, and I was like, well, that's a great question. And I just kind of put it to the Lord. I didn't know what the answer to it. And I said, well, let me deliver to you what he just laid on my heart. He says, you know when you're doing my work, when you're uncomfortable. So there's a lot to be said for us getting outside our comfort zone and doing something beyond. And that's where we get trapped so many times, because we so desperately want to be comfortable. And the idea is not, you know, if you're comfortable, you're never going to get where you want to go in life. You're never going to create greatness. You're never going to make a gigantic difference in the world because you're sitting in a state of comfort. So in getting outside of our box and being uncomfortable is also about facing adversity, because we're going to go after the unknown, and there's always going to be something, you know, that comes at us. And when those things, negative things happen to us, it's not so much that they're going to happen to us, and that's the first thing everybody's got to understand. that adversity is going to happen no matter what in your life. As long as you're pursuing life and you're pursuing greatness or you're pursuing something better, you're going to come up against adversity. And it's not that it's not going to happen. It's the fact of how do you react to it. And that's most important. And the central point of this entire article was the fact that we don't want to allow adversity to negatively impact our lives. We don't let it rob you. Don't let it steal your joy. It might temporarily, but we are going to look at a bigger picture today about how to take on adversity, how to take on what happens around us that's uncontrollable. And sometimes we actually create our own adversity in silliness and things that weren't too bright that we participate in, and we create that adversity in our life. How many people can raise their hand to that one, right? Amen to that. I know I do, because sometimes I use poor judgment, and when I use poor judgment, I typically create adversity in my life. So the idea here is that we want to control over how we respond to it, how we react to it, and not allow it to rob us of life or of joy. So the whole article is based on three keys to be able to look at adversity with a heart of gratitude and an outlook of gratitude. And that's a hard thing to do, but we'll go over that in a minute. The other thing that he talks about adversity is that adversity has an interesting way of introducing us to ourselves, because we really find out what we're made of when adversity strikes. Some of us live these great lives, like a perfect life. Adversity strikes and we crumble and fall into pieces. Other of us do everything in the world that we can to avoid adversity, but the minute it hits, we rise to the occasion and excel and overcome it. And so we're all built differently, but boy, this adversity, you know, it's like kind of that comment that people make that about you. True character doesn't show up when everything's going great. True character shows up when things are falling apart, right? So you start looking at yourself and saying, what is my true character? Don't look at when everything's roses. Look at when crises strike, who are you? How do you show up? And that truly is your character. So I think that's what he's trying to say here, is that when adversity strikes, we really have an intriguing way of introducing ourselves to ourselves. So what creates these differences in people? Why do some people react with joy and excel, and why do other people just crumble into pieces, fall into pieces, and take a year, 2 years, 5 years to recover from it? There are a lot of reasons for that, but he gives three major keys on how to tackle it. The first key is that when adversity strikes, we really need to view it for exactly what it is. It's a temporary circumstance. Now, you can say it's not a permanent reality. You can say, well, there could be adversity and a death, right? Adversity strikes in our life when somebody dies, and that's kind of permanent because they're not coming back. Well, for those of us who believe, we look at it as temporary too. But if you don't have the belief, you know, maybe you're looking at it as kind of permanent. You're never going to have that person back on earth. But the idea is what's temporary for you is the feeling of loss. Don't make that feeling of loss and, wow, I lost somebody really important. You're not degrading that person. You're not limiting the value they had in your life. You honor them, but you celebrate, again, if they're saved, you can celebrate their death. Like, we have had many celebrations in our family for the people who have passed away. And we, although as painful as they are for loss, it's a celebration of joy because we all know where they're going. But the other aspect of adversity is that, you know, when we look at it as something temporary, then it's not something that binds us and holds it, doesn't take a grip of us. We don't give it control. We don't give it power over us. And that's important for all of us to get, that when you give in to something, you're giving away your power. No one's taking it from you. You're giving it. And that happens in a lot of times when adversity strikes. Lydia, sometimes when you hear somebody say something, it hasn't happened in a long time, but I remember in the past, maybe 5-6 years ago, somebody at ManifQuest or Fest or something will make some derogatory comment about Mary Jo or something. And Lydia just said in the background, they're dead. She's very loyal. And she would come and tell me, and I'd say, Lydia, why are you letting that bother you? And she goes, why is it bothering you? And she would just like flip out. And I say, you know, there are going to be people in this world that don't like you. No matter how you run your life, no matter how good a person you operate from, there are going to be people that don't like you. And I says, don't give them power over you. Don't spend energy around people that don't like you. because as long as you're true to your core values, what does it matter? If somebody doesn't like you, that's a choice they can make. It's not going to rob me of my joy and my love of my life and my love of the Lord and my love of what I'm doing. It's not going to stop it. So we need to be really aware of that. Now, if somebody doesn't like you because you're doing something evil, you might want to evaluate again. Not so much that they don't like you, but start evaluating what is it about me that they're not liking? What feedback can I take from it? And maybe I need to make some change in my life because that would enhance me as a person. Not because they don't like me, but because they're giving me some good feedback. Maybe not the most favorable method of feedback, but I'm getting feedback that's telling me I need to move and do something different and make that decision for myself. But not based on whether they like me or not, based on getting feedback, taking it in, and making a decision on where we go forward. So, and this happens in Manitech a lot, right? People come up to you and they'll say something. I mean, you'll get a prospect out there who tells you, you know what, this is just a big sham. And you right away take it personal and you're like, oh my gosh, and you go into this, you know, whole kind of crazy state. You know what they did to me? Oh my gosh, they really accused me of this and this, and, you know, and you get all upset and then you get all worried and then you start believing it. Then you start thinking, well, what if they're right? What if this is a sham? And you start thinking, and now you're really lost out there. Now you've taken a step and, whoa, it's like your upline has to get out the fishing pole and reel you back in. And it might take a week, a month, or whatever, but you're getting caught up in adversity. You're getting caught up in somebody else's opinion, and you have to be very careful of that. So their opinion is also, how temporary are opinions? I don't know. People change opinions as often as they change underwear. You know, I'm laughing because I'm thinking of Mitt Romney right now, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult anyone who's going to vote for him or whatever. But, I mean, there are people out there that change their minds, and they change their opinions on things all the time. It's an option we have in life about we change our opinions. When we get more information and more data, we can step into and change our opinions on things. So changing of opinions can happen. So why are you allowing somebody's opinion today to adversely affect you? Why do you let it create adversity in your life? It's their opinion, and that's all it is. And they have a right to make that opinion. People have a right to, you know, and sometimes when people tell me about network marketing or whatever, and I say to myself, you know, you have a right to feel that way about network marketing, and I'm sorry that you don't value the most efficient method of distribution that we have in the world today. And that's now, why did I throw that little tidbit in there? I didn't nudge them. I wasn't trying to, you know, get them angry. I was just trying to give them a little bit more education so maybe they could look at it differently because, you know, I try to help people look at something differently. And sometimes I even say that to people when they give me some kind of talk back, you know, because I realize it's temporary. Their opinion is temporary. And I can sit back and I can make a difference. I can sit back and I can say, you know, maybe are you open to hearing something different that maybe you haven't understood before about network marketing? And if they go no, then you go, okay, it's all right. Do people have an opportunity to be closed and shut down and shut you out of their lives? Absolutely. It's a choice they all can make. Not my choice, but everybody has that. They can make that decision, and they can just decide they want to be stuck in their opinion. They don't want to grow. How many people know people in their lives right now that don't want to grow? I do. In fact, my husband kind of sits in that position in many, many ways. He's not interested in growing. So we all have our, you know, where we are, what we want to be. I happen to be one that wants to grow every day of my life. The only thing that can happen through growth is that I can become better, and that's intriguing to me. That's what I want. I want to be the best I can be. So when you diagnose adversity, when you diagnose somebody coming up with opinion, maybe a prospect telling you, you know, this is a sham, or maybe it's maybe what if one of your associates in your downline leaves and you really like them. You just can't. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, I'll never be able to grow the business. I'll never be able to do this without them. What is that? That's overreacting. That's drama queen. And I have a cute saying in my life, and I think I've always had it, but I put it into words in an effective way over the last 10 years, and it's called no drama. I don't do drama. So if somebody leaves my organization, I call them up, I have a nice chat with them, I'll take them out to lunch or out to Starbucks. I don't, no criticism, decision they made, and just ask them what the, you know, what was their basis for their decision, talk to them about it, and maybe it's good for them. And I just want to be friends. I just because you're not in my organization anymore doesn't mean that I don't want you as a friend. Because there's so much more to life than being in my Manatech business, right? And who knows how long they're going to stay in that one. If I keep being their friend, I have a lot greater opportunity to have them come back after they see the light when the other thing doesn't work out so hot for them. Maybe they'll come back because at least they have friends. They have people who really care about them, right? So, again, adversity is temporary, not permanent. So don't ever get into the drama. My life will never be the same. This is never going to end. Do you get why that language is all drama? It's all drama because it's, look at the never. You're putting absolutes in your life. There's nothing that's out there. That's, for me, the only absolute is what's found in Scripture. That's it. Everything else, there isn't an absolute. So I don't get into saying always, never. Those kind of words don't exist in my vocabulary. So anyway, so watch out. Be careful of that. When people see a problem as permanent, you're going to react very differently than if you see it as short term. Do you agree? Because if you see it as permanent, then you stay out of solution. Because if it's a permanent problem, why do you even bother trying to find a solution? Because it's permanent. So you can see that, and you become resolved to the fact that it's never going to get better. So depression sets in. We start getting, we're cast down. We're in a state of hyperplexy. And we, because we chose to do what? We chose to look at it as if it were permanent. So we end up paying incredible prices, and the people around us pay incredible prices, and we pursue a life with loss instead of a life of solution and gain. And my idea is solution and gain. I like the words gain and solution a lot better than I like the word loss. So clear. Does everybody? That's a great key. I think this is a big resounding key out of his article was the idea that whenever adversity strikes, immediately go into this is temporary. Say this is just temporary. I can overcome. Key number two is condition yourself to see value first rather than pain and hurt. This is tough, but this is another great solution for us. It's about training ourselves to psychologically respond in a certain way. Does everybody agree they can do that? Some of you may not feel you have the capacity to do that, but you do, because it's all called choice. We were given free will. We can choose to be different. So we can choose and condition ourselves to see value in everything. For those of you who are Christians, again, and love the Bible, read Romans 8:28, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. It's one of those verses you should plaster on your forehead if you have a problem understanding this point. But the idea is that every time something bad happens, you'll find good in it. So adversity can happen, but you can find good in it. And you can look at the value of it first. When my brother died, was shot and killed by his wife, and a lot of you know that story. But, you know, that was hard for me to find value in that, wasn't it? Do you think that's hard to do? Absolutely. But it wasn't hard for me when I started just really grappling with it and fighting with it because I could see I was now going to raise two kids, teenagers, bring them in. I was going to help them go through all this pain and agony of losing their parents, which is something I couldn't even fathom ever happening in my life. I was going to help them grow into being the best they could be in their lives. I was going to support them every way possible that I could to give them the best possible life they could have. And that doesn't mean spoil them rotten. It just means bring them along psychologically so that this would not be something that would mar them for life, but they would really see that they could be fulfilled in an incredible way. So that's what I got. What an opportunity it was. So through adversity, I could see this incredible opportunity. And you know what? Their love for me and our relationships, I would never give anything for that. I mean, it's unbelievable. I've gained so much out of that extreme adversity in my life. But the idea was to see the value in it and put the value first. Because what do you think happens to you when you put value first? All of a sudden, that adversity disappears. It dissipates for sure. It might still be there, but there'll be less pain, less suffering because you look at where the value is first. And there was incredible value. There's another incredible value in my brother's death, and that was the fact that the Lord used it to draw me closer. And that was so awesome. because I wouldn't, I don't think I'd have the walk today. Well, I don't know, because he could have brought something else in my life to bring me closer. But I mean, from the time that my brother passed away, my relationship with the Lord has grown tenfold compared to where it was before that. So it was a huge event in my life that triggered, because I had kind of lived a life that didn't have a lot of, you know, it had adversity because I'm a lawyer and I did all that, but it didn't have a lot of personal strife in it. So there's some incredible value. So what we need to do is we need to be value hunters in everything that we do. That really will change your outlook. And some of you get stuck in negativity because anytime Manitek does something or you fall out of leadership status and you go, oh, I'll never be back again. Oh, I lost my, you know, I'm no longer regional director. I'm no longer national. Oh, my gosh, I lost all these people. They all went over to Body Bye Bye, or they went over to Mona V or some other floozy company with floozy products. And you get all worked up about it. And I go, what? You know, Sam has a great approach to all of this. When we lose people to other network marketing, you know, he just looks at it and he goes, you know, it's a fleshing out process. You know, there's a process that we cleanse. We cleanse. We find out who's really convicted about our passion, which is real food technology. It's about saving children's lives. We find out who's really convicted and who's not. And those of us who stay convicted, we have a passion in our heart. I mean, the Manitek stock could have gone down to 2 cents and I would have stayed in Manitek. The Lord didn't ask me to leave this company. He brought me here for a reason. I'm here. I love everything about, I love it. I love the idea today that I can sit down with my pastor and he can incorporate all of my passions, my passion for Christ, my passion for saving children, my passion for health, my passion for contribution. I mean, it's all in one. This Give for Real through a nonprofit is just like the most ultimate. It's like, I don't know, you guys. Can you feel I'm exuding a lot of passion here, but it's all available. Where do I find that somewhere else? Oh. Are you guys communicating this? Is this clear to you what you have with Manitek? That doesn't exist other places. So value hunters. We're value hunters. And that's what we do. We're after value. So condition ourselves. So start working on it. How do you do that? You start today. Your husband comes home, he screams at you for something or says something nasty, and you, well, adversity. I want you to find the value in it. Okay, what value can I see in this? And there is value there. Sometimes it takes a while to find it. But you want to start conditioning yourself. And every single time adversity hits, instead of raising the hair on the back of your neck, you sit back and you go, whoa. Because once you get emotional about it, you're lost anyway, right? If you start emoting and you start getting all worked up and your emotions take over, there goes your logic side of your brain and you're dead duck. So why bother letting someone else control you? You know, why don't you control yourself? Choose to be logical about it. Don't fall into this need to be right stuff. Just fall into what's effective. What's effective in my life today? What's effective in my life today is what can I get of value out of this conversation? And then you get value. Great. Okay, so value hunters, just build it as a habit. It'll be resounding for you. And then the third key is see through adversity. Don't stare at it. Oh, but you want to be a drama queen, so you want to take on adversity. So what happens is your upline abandons ship and runs over and you no longer have support. So you get to be, oh, my gosh, woe is me. Oh, I get to be drama queen. I get to feel this loss. I get to be in this desperate state. I don't have to worry about being effective in Manitek. If I don't sign somebody up in the next 6 months, I have an excuse why not, because I'm victim to this, right? I mean, well, that's what causes us to stay stuck, because we get to be victim. It's somebody else's fault. We get to stay victim to it, so we get to stay stuck in adversity. Well, the idea is when adversity strikes, if you can see through it, in other words, remember, it's temporary. So if it's temporary, what do we get to do? We get to see the other side of it. What is it going to look like when I come out at the other side? Look through it. Pretend you have this X-ray glasses to help you see what's beyond the adversity, and then start focusing on that. When you see the other side, just knowing that there is another side is going to help empower you to come up with the creative solution that you have within you to start with. And that's the fun. For me, it's fun. I know Lydia looks at me and just can't believe it. She's gasping over there. She says, I just prefer not having any. And I go, well, everybody would prefer not having adversity, I guess. But adversity grows us. And adversity comes to us with a concept of, what is it doing? Sharpening the saw, right? It causes us to be better. We can be better people through adversity. If we didn't have strife, we would end up just maybe not growing at all. We might just be on that same walk and that same path. The strife in our life is what helps sharpen the saw. It helps us be better. So you want to be able to see through it. And there are plenty of things in our business that adversity, see through it. When you drop out of leadership level, you go, wow, this is what's going to catapult me, not just to get back to national, but I'm going to be on my way to executive now. Why? Because I've learned that XYZ. I can't just depend on this. I can't do this. I need to start doing this, and I'm going to change my routine so I'm going to get to where I know I can go. Today, there should be no reason. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, my organization is growing faster than it's ever gone in the last 6 years. People are signing up, more members than I've ever seen in my life. My business has grown 8 straight business periods in a row, and I have more sign-ups coming in every single week. It just elevates every single week. So why is that happening? It's happening because I'm in momentum, I'm creating momentum, I'm energetic, I'm talking to people, I'm working with people. We've revived some people that haven't done Manatech in 4 years, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, and did it take one phone call? No. Might have been a phone call, might have been a follow-up email, might have been in some conference calls that we're doing. We're doing weekly calls. I do a weekly support call. I do weekly group calls for different groups in my organization. I go out and do meetings. I travel. I mean, it's momentum that is created not because I just gave everybody an email saying, oh, look at our new product, Nutriveris. Well, do you think that's enough to trigger? No. It's not. These people had a lot of stuff they went through over the last 5 years in the background. If you want to reactivate people and get them motivated to do the business again, you've got to really be there for them. Three-way calls, like all of it. Line your life up. Schedule your life to be that convicted and show how much you care and watch the response you get. There's no way that you will be ineffective because people are desperately out there looking for people who care in their lives, who really want to make a difference for them. So you show that heart of care. You show that dedication. You see the other side of adversity. Adversity might be really clear to you right now. There's some people on this phone call that were presidentials at one time, and maybe they're national directors today. I mean, you know, that's tough to see all that go away. Is it something? Is it adversity? Yeah. Man, that's adversity. But how are you? What are you doing with it? Are you sucking into it and falling for it, believing in it, or are you seeing beyond it? And that's what you need to do. You need to see beyond it. And in order to do that, you got to take action. See beyond it. What is it going to take for me to create that I see beyond it, and then start getting in that positive mode? Instead of sitting back and woe is me. The language woe is me is drama. Okay? So it's time to move forward. See through adversity. Move forward. Don't stare at it, and you'll get creative, and you'll come out with the design to create something different in your life. So the bottom line is, he put some language at the end of it that said, don't let adversity tell you what it will do to your life. Tell adversity what you'll take from it that will benefit you and help you tap into your own greatness. What an excellent way of looking at adversity in our lives. So that's it, folks. That's all I have for today. Any shares from you guys? Anything that this touched? Is there any help that you got from this call in terms of what it means for you in your life? Can you see maybe what have you been doing in terms of letting adversity control you? Can you see being challenged differently as we go forward? Anyone want to share? Maybe I'm the only one that gets adversity in my life.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Hey.
Hi. I just a quick comment. It just reminded me how adversity can get us stuck, the big word stuck, and thanks for reminding me about that.
Yeah, good. Yeah, because we don't want, stuck is just an awful place to be. It's like, you want to always be in motion.
Well, and that's very scriptural. You know, we have to really believe that all things work together for good.
Right.
And if
you're
we
just
can,
gonna
we can get a hold of it.
Yep. Absolutely, Dorothy.
Well,
you know.
And I tell people in my Sunday school class, if you get a hold of one scripture in your life that is a good promise, you just really get a rhema word on that one scripture, it'll
yep.
change your whole life.
Absolutely.
It has to be one.
Yeah, right. You can't. These guys that memorize 25 and then they can't remember half of them. That's not very good. You gotta not only know it, but you've gotta, you know, ingrain it in your life, live it, right? Yeah. And it's and we love that one. Romans 8:28. For those of you unfamiliar with it, go, you know, write it down and go read it and plaster it on your wall. It goes, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So it's just it's one of my faves.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
This is Rudy.
Hey, Rudy.
On this new website that's available to everybody, how do I sign up?
How do you get it? Here you go, Rudy. You just do just what's in our outline. You type in www.navigate with the 8. .me/, and then type in your account number, and there's your website.
Okay, and that's once I do that, then I'm on the web, right?
Yep. Well, that website already exists, whether you go there or not, but that's your website, and that's your address for your website that you can post anywhere. You can put it on your okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's no such thing as triggering it or that somehow you have to do something to get it up and running. It's already in existence. That's your access to it, and then you just use that as your website address that you're going to be posting wherever, whenever. We're actually making cards. We're making a new business card, Nutrivirus. We're making a new business card, and we have our Navigate Nutrivirus business cards because we're using that with new people. But we're actually making a business card that we're using for people that we already know who might have shared Manatech with before, that we just want them to take a look at the new product, and we're making a little card to do that. And Lydia and I worked on this weekend, and we're making one that's going to use the identical artwork that we have for Navigate. It's just not going to be, it's going to be to this Navigate site instead, right? But it's aimed more towards people that we want, who we think just will look at it and sign up. Just by looking at it. You get it? So you could have two different cards. One is if they don't know anything about Manatech yet, they're probably not going to go to your .me and sign up. But if you think that, depending on what you get out of your conversation with them, some people you could just get them to your sign up page. Other people might want to know more information. But I think it's a valuable site.
Okay,
and I haven't. Yep, you got it. Does that make sense to you, Rudy? You see how you can use it?
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you very much for clarifying that. I want you to have a great, great trip and come back to us safely, Mary Jo.
I will, Rudy. I promise you that. That's the Lord's will. That's what happened. I can't imagine He's going to take me home when I'm on a mission trip, but you know, you never know. You never know. But it's, you know, it's safe. And we've been, you know, I've been there. This is my third or fourth year down to Brazil, so loving it every time I go. The one prayer you need to do is pray that Mary Jo decides to come back. Lydia says my cats are here. I'll definitely return. Yeah.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
This is Rebecca. I just wanted to make a comment about the adversity thing.
Yeah, okay.
At church yesterday, I don't know if you've ever heard of John Bevere, but he was the guest speaker at the church, and they were talked about the exact same thing about adversity.
Really?
And a couple of things. Yeah, it's just like, oh my goodness. I guess I needed that. But anyway, one of the things that he said to reinforce it was God uses your present challenges to strengthen you to greater conquests in your future. And so he said to really, you know, don't resist your endurance training.
Right.
And it was just like, I just really love it because, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if we're called to greatness in Manatech, you know, then just be excited about the adversity almost. You know, count it all joy when you encounter various tribulations because they're going to come anyway. You might as well eat it up and then you can, you know, because you're called to
Absolutely.
Greatness and you're going to get there.
Yeah. And you know what adversity is, you know, and even making mistakes, I have the same attitude about making mistakes, because we all make mistakes, and through mistakes we make, a lot of times we bring adversity in our own lives. But every single one of those experiences is a learning experience, and that's what they're saying in your service yesterday as well. We grow, and that's called sharpening the saw. We're enhancing our ability to take on greater and greater challenges. And, you know, you also believe in the scripture where he says the Lord's never going to give you too much that you can't handle, right? And so it's about, they probably use that one as well. And they're just like telling you that, you know, all this adversity comes in our lives because he knows we can handle it. And he'll give you greater and greater challenges. The more you handle the smaller bites, you're going to get bigger and bigger challenges, and you're going to create greater and greater results, and you're going to create the greatness he has in store for you. But if you're not willing to step into it, guess what? Well, you know, how can he use you in a really big way? So that's we want the Lord. That for me, I want him to use me in the greatest of ways. So whatever that looks like, put me in a position where, you know, if I'm not out there moving my feet, doing what I feel called to do, then clearly he's never going to get me to that point where, or I'm never going to get myself, and he's not going to lead, guide, and direct me there because I'm not doing what I need to be doing. Initially, I'm not taking the steps. I'm not fighting the battles as they come up, and growing my character along the way to handle the bigger and larger, more critical things that he might have in store. Right? There you go. Good, isn't that fun? So really, you needed that, Rebecca. Somebody's telling you really needed that.
No, I know. I don't know what I'm going through.
There you go, sister. So see, there you go. Yeah. And I love it because when you get into things like what I do with my coaching that I do in my foundation, it's amazing. Last week I had a couple people, and it's amazing the kind of strife people bring, and you know, it's and the drama that goes around all of it, and it's just, it's really, it's a joy because I get to be there to be a sense of strength, not through me, but through him. He works through me to allow me to support people in times, tough times. And it's, I'm telling you, there are a lot of paloozas out there, people. So we just got to keep our nose to the grind and work through the tough strengths because we know what's on the other side. And that's what's important. Anyone else? Last chance before you say goodbye to Mary Jo for 2 weeks. You guys are going, oh, a breather. Yeah. No, I want you all to create greatness in your life. Just make this, kick this off as a jumping board to just, you know, catapult yourself to something great in the next couple of weeks. I can't wait to hear all the stories when I get back in town. I'll be back on the Monday call. I think it's going to be Monday around August 5th or 6th. Lydia says Monday, August 6th will be when I'm back on the call. But in the next couple of weeks, like I said, you'll have some not as strong players like Sam and no, the greatness of Sam on the call. And I'm sure Lydia will line up somebody else great after the second Monday call. So love you guys. Have a productive couple of weeks, and I can't wait to get back and support you some more. Have a great time. Bye, everybody.